In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday long ago, he was received as a king, and not just as any king, but as the King of Israel. For over 600 years, the Jews had been waiting for this moment, and it finally arrived. They knew that it would, though. God had promised that it would come. The prophet Zechariah foretold it. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. As the centuries went by, this remained the hope of God's faithful people. The son of David, the king of Israel, would come in the name of the Lord. But this was not just characteristic of the king of Israel, that he would come. No, this defines the Lord God himself. God is he who comes. From the very beginning of creation, God comes. The Lord God came to earth to form the man of dust from the ground. He came again to make woman from one of Adam's ribs. The Lord came to Abram and promised him offspring as numerous as the stars above. The Lord came to Mount Sinai, to the top of the mountain, and there he spoke to Moses, and through Moses to the people of Israel. And from generation to generation, God came to his people of old and spoke to them by the mouth of his holy prophets. Then in the fullness of time, God came in a new and wonderful way, born of woman, born under the law. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, came into the world in our human flesh and blood. John the Baptist's father Zechariah proclaimed this, in the words which we ourselves will sing in a few moments, the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited, that is, he has come and redeemed his people. In fact, our entire church here is founded on this truth. We begin with Advent, which means he comes. At Christmas, we proclaim that Jesus came, born in poverty and in meekness. In Epiphany, we proclaim that Jesus came with divine authority over creation itself, sickness, death, and the devil. In Lent, we proclaim that Jesus came to suffer and die. And today, Palm Sunday, we proclaim that Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to shouts of Hosanna. This truth is at the heart and center of our Christian faith. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Israel, comes. It must be this way if we are to have any contact with him. As Luther's Small Catechism rightly teaches, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. For as the scriptures ask, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? And the scriptures answer, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. There is none who does good, no, not even one. And therefore, who would dare claim to have so pure a heart, so honest a soul, so sincere a tongue, that he could ascend the hill of the Lord and come to the King of Kings? Jesus must come to us, and he has. But perhaps this should have caused the Jews who were gathered in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday long ago to pause and reflect. Why would the righteous King of Israel, the Lord of Lords, who is in himself blessed, want to come to our corrupted, sinful, fallen world? If he is righteous, and we human beings are not, what will he do when he comes? The prophet Isaiah foretold in very vivid language what the coming of the Lord would mean for sinners. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with anger and in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of fury, and his tongue is like a devouring fire. These words should have brought all Jerusalem and Judea to their knees in humility and repentance. And to be fair, Some did. As it was throughout his ministry, there were those who hailed Jesus in repentance and faith. But many were like the Jews that we heard about last week, who claimed to be children of Abraham and yet never enslaved to anyone. They thought that these words of judgment applied to the Gentiles, not to themselves. They thought that Jesus had come to destroy the Roman invaders and to devour those pagans whose very presence defiled the Holy Land. But as the week unfolded, Jesus preached in Jerusalem. And instead of condemning the pagan Romans for their idolatry, Jesus condemned the Jews for their hypocrisy. Instead of prophesying the destruction of the Roman Empire, Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Roman armies. Instead of driving out the Gentiles, he drove out all who bought and sold in the temple. You see, the Jews discovered that the king who comes in judgment judges all unrighteousness, not only that of their enemies, but theirs as well. This lesson is especially timely this year. It is all too easy for Christians to consider the coronavirus and the subsequent fallout as God's judgment against those sinners out there, the sexually immoral, the greedy, the violent, the idolaters. But remember what Jesus said about those on whom the tower in Siloam had fallen and had killed them. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This current pandemic is God's call to all of us, that we should all repent, that we should all humble ourselves before him, especially we who are of the household of God, for we ourselves are poor, miserable sinners. The season of Lent began 5.5 weeks ago with such a call to repentance. This was recorded in the prophet Joel. As we enter into this season's final week, let us hear it once again. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Yes, it is true that the Lord will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, and on that day all who rejected him in unbelief will burn with unquenchable fire. But that was not how or why he came into Jerusalem long ago. Instead, as Zechariah foretold it, Jesus came righteous and having salvation. And the righteousness of which Zechariah speaks, the righteousness which is Christ's, and in which he comes, is the righteousness by which the merciful and loving God justifies you by his grace alone, received by faith alone. It is the righteousness that is God's gift of forgiveness. It is the righteousness that God reckons to you for Jesus' sake. And that's why Jesus came humbly to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, not in pride. That's why he entered on the back of a donkey, not on a war horse or chariot. That's why children hailed him with palm branches, not centurions with battle bows. For when Christ came to Jerusalem, he came to save you. And that means he came in lowliness, in the form of a servant, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When Christ, the righteous king, came to his unrighteous subjects on that Palm Sunday long ago, he came with a mind and a heart for their exaltation, not his own. The only lifting up he would experience was on the wood of the cross. The only robes that he would wear were his bloody wounds. The only crown on his head would be one made of thorns. But all this he gladly suffered. The king for traitors, the shepherd for wayward sheep, the Almighty God for sinners. This is what it means for Christ, the King who comes in the name of the Lord, to be righteous. He came to suffer and die, to redeem sinners, that they might be counted as righteous before God. As Jesus came to Jerusalem in righteousness to save sinners, so he still comes in righteousness to save sinners today. Indeed, you pray for this very coming every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. And God's kingdom comes when he gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. As you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and receive the sacrament of the altar, Jesus Christ comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Righteousness and salvation that he freely gives to you through these means, that you might be saved and counted righteous. Though your sins are many, and the Holy Son of God knows them all, fear not. He has taken them all from you, paid for them in full by his blood, and clothed you with his own righteousness. It is therefore truly meet, right, and salutary that we should sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he will indeed come again. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, will return to his people once and finally. But it will not be in lowliness, in humility, in the form of a servant, no. When the King of Kings comes again, he will come in the clouds with great glory, accompanied by a multitude of the heavenly host. Yes, the unbelievers will be condemned for eternity, but we, who have hoped in Christ, we will welcome our King when he comes with raised heads and shouts of Hosanna. For on that day, we who were sown in weakness will be raised in glory to reign with Christ forever. Therefore rejoice greatly, shout aloud, Jesus is the blessed King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. Righteous and having salvation is he. He is blessed, therefore he blesses you. He is the King of Israel, therefore he makes you heirs of his kingdom. He comes in the name of the Lord to sanctify you in his name. He is righteous because he declares you righteous. He has salvation and he has saved you. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.